Hello, and spring is in the air, and just like our advancing pack, the hour's gone forward too. In today's podcast, Wire run up a cricket score at Hull. Can Dennis keep up his superb top trump form during his tackle bag section? Has Patton registered an innovative pass at the painting office? And is it our year after the girl in the chippy said so? Plus, why was Mike Cooper left out of the England squad? There are so many questions, but do we have the answers? Or is that another question? It's all coming up in the next hour on What Would Brian Bevan Say? Oh, that's another question, isn't it? And that.
Hey, I'm young Rob London, and my apologies for these two fossils, which last week both got a little bit ranty. First to an older man than myself, and possibly should be forgiven for such a middle-aged rant. An old fella that in the coming weeks, with an hour change and the signs of spring in the air, will dust off his mountain bike, lubricate his tackle bags, and perhaps his old fella, and ride those Gloucestershire hills once more. It's Dennis Waywell. Hello, Dennis.
Did you get that?
Oh, good evening. Is it Timothy Taylor by any chance, Dennis?
No. Not tonight. I've switched allegiances. I'm today on Slingsbridge Inn from Harrogate in Yorkshire. This is an aged gin in a whiskey barrel. Very nice. Very celebratory drink, I think.
Excellent. Is what it's required. I think so. We should say we're recording this show tonight straight after the match. It's just turned around about 9 o'clock here in Sydney. A strange incident happened in the night here in Sydney. Boys, you might be able to fill me in on this a little bit. Something that looked a little bit wet started falling out of the sky. Does anyone know what that possibly could be?
Yes, we do know what that is, and you've not introduced Sam yet, so let's move it on. Come on.
Okay, then, last but not least, although the oldest member of the podcast, but by far the most sensible, he's the stat man still adding up on his abacus, and the Luddite whose phone was unable to cope with the Halliwell Jones light show. Would you believe he's less years from a bus pass in numbers than Deck Pattern makes in metres gained each week? However, he's the only podcaster giving the show an ounce of credibility. It's Sam Sankey. Hello, Sam.
Hello, good evening, gents. I'm actually reeling from the realisation that I'm the oldest one of the three. But what an evening. I know Hull were poor, but some champagne stuff tonight.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? Now, you didn't think about going, Sam. Have you ever been to the Hull game? Have you ventured that far?
Yes. Used to venture there on a regular basis. I must be fair, and perhaps giving us less credibility, since everyone moved to Friday nights and occasional Thursdays, my unwavering effort to get to away games has waned a little bit in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could happen. That could happen. Dennis?
Rob?
Yes, mate?
Well, I just wanted to just say something. You know, you pulled me up on my geography last week.
Did I?
I'd just like to... Yeah, you did.
There we go.
I'd just like to pull you up on yours now. If I was to go and get on my bike and ride to the Gloucestershire hills...
What hills are those?
Gloucestershire hills. See, I could say that twice. The gin's kicked in. If I was to be able to ride that, it would take me 14 hours on my bike to get there. I'd look at that on my little map today.
To ride to what? Where are you riding to?
Gloucester. The hills at Gloucester. Anyway, do you know, a little test for you boys, there's a few teams around that area. Can you name any of the teams in that area?
They're all goals.
Oh, 1 point to Sam. There's two more.
There's one in Devon, isn't there? In Bobby Tracy.
Geography. Jeez.
Is that too far away, is it?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
The Bristol Bulldogs.
No.
South Wales Scorpions.
Geography now. No.
The Cotswold Cocks.
Forest Bulldogs. No. Forest Bulldogs. Cheltenham Phoenix. There you go.
All right. Fair enough. Well done. Yeah.
I've also got another really interesting fact. I just thought I'd, because I went up Yorkshire this week.
What do you mean, other?
I've got another interesting
fact. He means he's got a fact.
Yeah. When I was driving up Yorkshire and thinking, Rob, yeah, clearly he's got no idea about geography. I drove past Gloucester and I had a bit of a look up at it. And near Cheltenham's nearby as well. Apparently, it was the birthplace of International Rugby League.
Yes, it was, yeah.
15th of February 1908, England, or otherwise known as the Northern Union, it all kicked off there. This isn't tackle bags. You can't snore. Wake up. Wake up. And, yeah, that was the first ever match. There was one little bit I just want to mention. There was some guy called Mad Arthur Smith. He played before World War One and resumed his career after it with a German bullet in his body. And he still carried on playing.
Tough as old boots.
Yeah.
Where was the bullet? In his bollock, a bit like Paul Wood.
You know what? They didn't say that. Yeah, they didn't say where it was. I was trying to work out that.
All right, fair enough.
Blake Costing, performance car of the week.
The Austin Healey 3000 was known as the hairy-chested Big Healey. A 3-litre inline six-cylinder engine generating 150 brake horsepower. When the 3000 arrived, it quickly made its mark as a rally car, going on to win a variety of different classes. The 3000 had a reputation as something of being a hairy-chested sports car. So, with its muscular looks, its firm ride, and grunty engine, this week's Austin Performance Car of the Week is the Austin 3000.
Steady on, Austin. There's 21 games left yet, you know. You don't want to cause alarm in Super League just yet.
Okay, well, we probably should move on to the match, shouldn't we? Now, I've not had time to write down the minutes tonight. There was just too many tries, and it's early in the morning here, so I'm going to just reel it off from the Twitter app, Warrington's Twitter app. And Rashford kicked nine goals. So is that, by your maths, is that above his 81% kicking ratio? Is he still on track?
Oh, yeah, he's way on track.
Right, okay. All right, let's run through the team. It was a little bit of a late change, and we might come on to that because... there's a question mark, who are our best two centres now? The team is Ratchford, Lynham, King, Mamo came in the centre.
Nemo.
Charnley, Austin, Patton. The forwards were Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes and Philbin again, keeping his place there at 13. The interchange bench was Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Jason Clark, Tarsi stayed on and Levette came in for the young hooker, Walker. The final score was Hull 12, Warrington 63. We'll do what we did last week. We'll run through in 20 minutes and then we'll stop and we'll discuss how we went. In the 7th minute, it was a try for Blake Austin. In the 10th minute, I'll just move on. In the 10th minute, yeah, we have Daz Clark. He spots a gap and capitalises and goes over the line. Again, the kick's successful. We make it 12-0. And then on the 13th minute, Blake Austin sold everyone a dummy to go over for his second try. We then come on to the 19th minute and Charlie scores. The winger goes over in the corner for his fourth try, all inside the opening 20 minutes. Score after 20 minutes is Hull 0, Wyatt 22. Dennis, I sent you a WhatsApp text saying we needed a 20-point start. There it was. Boom, game over.
It was, wasn't it? I was expecting a repeat of that text as well for about 20 times. And I noticed Sam wasn't around at that time. And I thought, he's had enough already. He doesn't want to hear it. We did think, though, the Hicks bosun was an unstable particle and it could, erupt at any time in a string of penalties. But didn't quite happen, I don't think. I think when did the first penalty? I think the first penalty was given on 16 minutes. So, yeah.
Well, the first major penalty, and we'll come on to the next 20 in a set, I'll discuss that. But Sam, that opening 20 minutes, as good as it gets, wasn't it?
We were outstanding. And not just in the first 20 minutes either, inside the first 10 minutes. I mean, Austin scored the first try when he reached over. But just before that, he'd taken another inside pass and just got tackled by a Hull player desperately. But the same move again. And he scores. It was a beautiful, you'll love the soft hands from Chris Hill. Clark from dummy half. And then again, 12th minute, that soft hands again from Hill, sending Ratchford flying through the gap. They did well to hang on there. And then the outrageous dummy from Austin. It was beautiful rugby. It was stunning rugby. Another great offload from Hill, and Charnley goes over in the corner. It was champagne stuff. It was outstanding. I mean, Defence, maybe not, but from us, it was fabulous.
Okay, 21st
so
minute.
So are we to take it that both of you two, well...
Well, I'm just rolling on. I'm trying to roll on, just like the Warrington game. It was quick. It was fast. Boom.
I'm just going to ask whether you two were aroused at that point. I know you are, Rob.
Well, a little bit of morning glory. I mean, you know, I'm the right side of a certain age. Okay, 22nd minute 21st minute. Charlie goes in again. A pathetic attempt to catch the ball by Hull. And Charlie just strolls in the corner. And then on the 31st minute, this is the marquee money yet again. Austin breaks from his own half, kind of weighs it up. As Sam said last week, again, he perfectly just decides what's the best option. On this occasion, it's just to do a little dummy, which the whole player just falls for. And he strolls in from about 60 yards out. 39th minute. And finally, a slightly overweight, if you ask me, Albert Kelly scores. Has he put a few pounds on since he's arrived at Hull? Has he been going to the chip shop?
They were talking about him on the TV, similar to last week. They mentioned it. Obviously, they must have watched last week's. We didn't, because they were at London. And they said he was limping around a bit, didn't look quite fit. Now, he has come back from injury, but whether he's come back from injury and he's not match fit, or whether he just likes a trip to the kebab shop, obviously, we don't know.
Or
maybe
two.
Any Hull fans we know would tell us about that, wouldn't they?
Are you after a bit of a sponsorship there, Sam? Are you not going to mention anyone? There must be something.
I do like the charcoal pit on Winwick Street there. I can even eat a kebab from there when it's when I'm not drunk. You know, outstanding kebabs on a year by year basis. But to be serious for a moment, the Austin try on in the 31st minute, he ran 60 metres weaving back into that was, that's what we've been waiting for, isn't it? It was fabulous.
I thought that's the first time he showed up the Super League in that first half. I think there was moments in that first half. There's nowhere near he gets to the line in the NRL. And it was embarrassing just how bad the tackling was. That 60-metre try, he gets collared in the NRL.
He showed up Hull, and perhaps he showed up the depth in Super League rather than Super League itself.
You know what it reminded me of? You know when the Kangaroos used to come over and just run up embarrassing scores in half an hour, and they just seemed to all of a sudden keep the ball alive? And British Rugby League would be looking at and going, oh, he can offload the ball. Oh, he can draw a man and then throw it again. And oh, look at all that space all of a sudden. I thought he did that to the British defence last night. I really did. I thought it was a case of some hilarious show-and-go dummies. And a clear indication, I think, of the difference in the two countries. If you go to any playground in Britain, you won't see a kid playing touch and pass in the playground. It just doesn't happen. Here, every single lunchtime, every night after school, there is just thousands and thousands of kids playing touch footy. And Austin's just playing touch footy with him. They're just not used to it.
Did you ejaculate at that point?
There's always one person taking it down a level, and it's always you, isn't it?
Well, I'm just saying, mate, that's the difference. That's why the Aussies don't admire the British
fans. I thought you were on about Rob, yeah.
All right, let's carry on. Let's roll to the end, and then we'll discuss it all at the end. All right, then, what have we got next? We've got Steph Ratchford makes a break before finding Ben Murdoch-Missilla, who goes past two defenders to cross. This is off the Warrington Twitter feed. Was it not Blake Austin that made that gap? Oh, no, it was Ratchford that made the gap, wasn't it? We just spoke about him.
Austin changed the point of attack and put Ratchford through the gap, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, and then the 53rd minute... he just cannot stop scoring. Blake Austin again, fourth one of the night. Outrageous dummy. Hull fall for it again. And we're in. 46 points to 6. And then on the 59th minute, it's Tom Lynham. He forces his way over out wide. And we're up to the 50 mark. Ratchford pulls the conversion wide. And then on the 65th minute, another try. Josh Charlie completes his hat-trick. Ratchford kicks the goal and we're 56 six up. I'll keep rolling to the end. Jordan Lane crosses for Hull in the 68th minute. Mark Snead hits the conversion. It's 56-12. And then Tom Lynham intercepts on the 75th minute, as we've seen he can do on numerous occasions. terrific work by him there. Flicks the ball up into the sky rather than down towards his toes, and he has time to pick it up and race away. We're not to be finished, because then on the 79th minute, Blake Austin slots over a drop goal. Final score is Hull 12, Warrington 63. We'll come on to the predictions. We may as well do those now. I went for an 18-all draw after extra time. I was a little bit off. Sam went 30 points to 18 to Warrington, and Dennis went 28-16. Unfortunately, everyone is 19 points away. So again, this week, there's no points to anyone. Right. Okay. Well, let's lead on to the talking points. I'll throw it at you guys. The one that I've got is we start with a different back line. To me, it looks crisper. It looks quicker. I'm going to put a poll out, but I think Mamo is a better centre than Ryan Atkins. Mamo. Your thoughts, boys?
I thought for the first half, you are right. They looked incredibly crisp. The further the game went on, I felt the more Jake Mamu was trying hard to do stuff. So,
Dennis is shaking his head.
But he did limp off. He did limp off in the last 5 minutes. So hopefully he's not done anything serious there.
Dennis, you're shaking your head there, mate.
There's something about Mamu, isn't there, that... I don't know. Can't put my finger on. He's almost like as if he. What you? Don't laugh. No, he's almost as though he just makes some fundamental daft errors at times.
Do you think?
Yeah, every now and then. And I remember him doing it for Huddersfield. I don't know whether it's because you always see like opposition teams going in, and he was always a fullback. But yeah, I don't know. There's something just not quite there yet.
Well, maybe. But in his defence. And in comparison to Ryan Atkins, he is, 7 or 8 years younger than Atkins. So he is, I suppose, a man of the future, whereas Atkins is coming towards the end. I had a mate round tonight. I've got more than one. And we were watching the game together. And we were reminded a bit almost of Richie Mathers. He wasn't going around giving high fives, but he does bring some enthusiasm and some pace to the back line.
Right, we had a little bit of a rant last week about Ben Thaler. I understand he had a very good game last night in the Leeds-Castleford match. I've got no qualms on Robert Hicks tonight. I thought he was superb. Even when the whole crowd were giving him a bit of jip, there was a pass that looked a little bit possibly forward, Hill to Cooper. It's hard to tell on the camera. We didn't get the flush angle on the camera. But Dennis very quickly on WhatsApp said, here's the penalty now. They'll get a penalty on the next six. It never happened. He looked pretty crisp and good all the way through.
Yeah. What were the stats on them? How many did he penalties with?
I didn't get that because obviously we're doing it straight after the game. So I've not done any extra homework on that.
The only one that I thought was a little bit contentious, and it didn't make any difference to the score, was right at the end, Mamo tried to offload in the tackle and he gave a penalty to Hull. And then on the very net set of six, Hull went down the Warrington end and he tried to offload. He sort of dropped it onto the floor and he just gave a turnover. He didn't give Warrington a penalty.
The other one I noticed as well is that Ben Murdoch-Maselli stood up and got penalised. I think he threw... He just basically just brushed him off and he flew about 10 feet.
Every time Ben Murdoch-Maselli gets up to play the ball, you're not quite sure whether it's going to eventuate, are you? Something might happen. It's just constant. It's just the way he is.
I've got an interesting fact, Rob. Last night, Ben Thaler gave more penalties to the away team.
Finally, he's listened to the criticism. They've reviewed last week and the penalties are about half as much as they were last week.
It's only 7-6 he gave in Castleford's favour.
So there seemed to be less penalties at Leeds last night and there seemed to be far less penalties in the whole match. Do you think someone's been having a word this week? Let it flow a bit more?
Yeah. Did you actually send your rant off to him direct?
Should have done, shouldn't I? Did you hear that the Sky commentary team mentioned about the play of the ball and when the ball's just pushed into the defender who's on the ground, the NRL have just started to just continue the play?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was cynically done, wasn't it, this evening? Curry did everything he could to get out of the way, and it was just pushed on him.
Oh, dear. Right. 26th minute, Warrington give away their first major penalty in the defending half. It's given away by Deck Patton. And I suddenly think, oh, Deck Patton's on the pitch. In Warrington's 11 tries last night, Sam, how many was Deck Patton involved in? Bearing in mind, he is playing scrum half.
Directly, I don't think he was involved in any directly.
Hey! Well, hold on. Was there not?
Come on, tonight.
He was.
We've won brilliantly. Let's lay off him tonight.
All right, fair enough. Okay, well, let's move on to our man of the matches. Do I even need to do this? I just say Blake Austin times three.
I think we say Blake Austin was man of the match. Who's your next best player?
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, that Jace Clark, he was really good. I think every week his defence is building, and I think he was my second man of the match then.
Have you noticed just around the ruck area, when it gets a bit messy around the ruck area, and in other years we've kind of let teams flow through, he never takes the dummy. He constantly, there was on one occasion Sneed had a go and Clark got him round the legs. There was a couple tonight where he's just exceptionally sensible round the play of the ball. When it gets a bit loose, you can kind of rely on him, but he's coming in. Yeah. He's coming in like a little Yorkshire Terrier and snapping at their ankles.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what his tackle count is actually now, because he's getting over. I don't think he started the season in playing from the start, did he? But I think he's started to sort of get more game time now. It'd be interesting to see what his tackles per minute or whatever.
Yeah, he seems to come on around the 20th minute and stay on, doesn't he? For me, though, I thought, particularly in that first 20 minutes, Chris Hill was outstanding. Chris Hill was outstanding. He was involved in everything.
Yeah, he was. Just one final point on Jason Clark. He's exceptionally clean, isn't he? Doesn't give any penalties away as well, which you could say, if he's sort of come in for Westwood, there's a bit of a difference there in penalty count.
Not totally sure about that.
Yeah, he gave a penalty away, didn't he?
Did he? Fair enough.
Just the one.
Okay, last one is, and again, we might not have an answer for this really, is player we'd like to swap. I mean, there's...
Nobody.
I'll swap Deck Patton for Sneed.
Oh, well, there's no need. There's no need for that.
You're just doing it to have a little bit of a pump.
Oh, come on. I've had two espressos this morning.
That's
I'm on
what
edge.
It is. Yeah, it's espressos. Espressos. Oh, I always say that. It just winds people up.
Now, we should finish really on a little bit of news. And it is, it does involve Deck Patton. Dennis, do you want to give what's gone on this week?
I think we discussed at length last week about the stutter pass. And I think from that, I did a bit of a sort of digging around. And on behalf of Deck, we've managed to sort of put something down on paper. And when you actually break down the stutter pass and looking at the offence and defence, we started to put it down as an actual sort of, you know, a patented move. And quickly realised that there's potential in this. And I think what we need to do is probably get it registered as quickly as possible. You know, there's other teams out there who are obviously going to be copying this particular move. So I've done some, we've put it down on paper. We've typed it up now. I think there was a bit of a breach this week as it was revealed on Twitter on a scrap of paper. So it got out there. But essentially, sent that off, and we had a very quick response this week. And the answer phone message, well, that explains everything.
Dear Mr. Patton, reference 276034, passing technique, stutter pass. Thank you very much for your recent application to the patents office for registering the stutter pass. After careful consideration, the patents selection committee recommends the application move to the next stage, whereby a patent specification must be submitted. The conditions of patenting the stutter pass specification must consider the following conditions. 1. The stutter pass must have been deployed on more than one occasion. 2. The dummy runners must run through the line without impeding the defense. 3. It must be thrown so that the winger can catch the ball without knocking on. 4. The stutter pass must not detract or undermine a marquee player's star quality. 5. It should not be confusing enough that Ryan Atkins thinks it's for him. 6. The stutter pass must be repeatable beyond 10 games. 7. If the stutter pass becomes a rugby league success, it will be branded as the Austin or Wydock pass. In addition to these considerations, the stutter pass cannot be used as an excuse for playing like a chocolate pudding that tastes of dog shit. The stutter pass will be exclusively available to all the Warrington Wolves players with the exception of Kevin Brown, who will continue to use the slower and more established 1895 edition of passing, the Speculator. We look forward to the submission of your detailed specification for the stutter pass and any other innovations that are recommended by Dennis Waywell's Tackle Bags. Yours sincerely, Mike Litteris.
Well, he certainly fits the criteria there, Dennis. I think all the points that were down there definitely seems to be on the go. I'll just finish off by also, we did a poll online. We asked, should Deck Patton register his new pass at the patent office? Final results were, no, it's just silly, 19%. It's still just a double pump. I think Sam's mentioned this, 39%. But yes, was the winner. 42% of the audience believe Deck Patton has patented the stutter pass.
Get in.
Right, let's move on to a bit of news in the week that's happened within Super League. First of all, the England squad. A bizarre concept, this, because we seem to be putting a squad together that's not going to play a game this year, which does seem a little bit silly. It also included players that are injured and won't be playing this season. But the big discrepancy amongst the team was there was no place for Mike Cooper. Come on, Sam, you know the stats on this. Should he be in that side? Are all the forwards in that team better than Mike Cooper?
The simple answer is no, with the exception of Chris Hill and maybe a couple of the St. Helens lads. Cooper, how can you not have Mike Cooper in that squad? Ridiculous.
Who picks it? Who picks this team?
Wayne Bennett.
The bloke on the other side of the world not watching any British rugby league, that's who picks it.
And he's coaching a side over there, is he?
But he has managed to pick Luke Gale, Stevie Ward and Tom Johnson.
Oh, right, yeah, finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
I actually believe that Wayne Bennett is lonely. Just up the road from me, there's a very sort of nice sort of bespoke little, you know, bohemian cinema, a hipster cinema called Cremorne Orpheum. And on more than one occasion on a Sunday afternoon when I've been driving past, Wayne Bennett goes and watches romantic flicks at Cremorne Orpheum on his own.
How do you know he's on his own?
I see him. He's like a lost sheep. He watches the sort of 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon romantic flick at Cremorne Orpheum.
Are you going to go in there? Can you interview him for the podcast?
Yeah, an interview. Yeah, an interview on his favourite film.
Yeah.
What was that film? Was it? There was a film in Britain in the late 90s. It was set in a manor house and it starred Anthony Hopkins as the butler.
Oh, and Emma Thompson. Howard's End.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson takes a book off him and goes, oh, it's just a romantic novel. It shows the other side of him. I'm pretty sure that's Wayne Bennett.
Is it Howard's End Triple X?
Right, okay. Another point that's happened this week, and this tweet was liked by Kevin Brown. Widdop is injured. Before we talk about his injury, I thought there was a very interesting statement went up from Dr. Amir Abraham. He's a sport and exercise physician. He's the former chief medical officer at the Sydney Roosters. It's a little bit abbreviated, this, what he's written, because it was on Twitter, but I'll read what he says. An interesting discussion in the medical room today on Widdop. Always hard at this stage of the season. Surgery will keep him out for 4 months. Conservative treatment for 4 to 6 weeks, with the likely chance of the injury reoccurring. Throw into the mix being fit for his new club next year. Dilemma. So we're all kind of coming at this from different angles. I mean, clearly St. George want him back on the park, but is it in their best interest really for the player's health that he goes for surgery and they lose him for all the, you know, most of the season? Or do we end up with a Widdop playing with injections for the rest of this year and then not starting the year at Warrington?
That's interesting. Is there anything left in that shoulder now? I mean, if it's been pulled here, there and everywhere, I mean, that sounds like to me that that's a longer recuperation, like you say. So anything that you do, you know, previous to that is just going to make it worse, I suppose, or susceptible in the future.
Yeah, it's not being an expert, obviously, but who is, other than the medical guy. But it's a worrying third time it's gone in 8 months, is it? 9 months?
Something like it's that. A worry.
Yeah.
But what does St. George do? You know,
well,
do they...
St. George, you've got... they've got Matt Duffy, haven't they, who is a rising star. He's fast. He's a ready-made fullback. Some people at St. George wanted him to play the moment Widdop said he wants to go back to England. So they've got someone ready-made.
If I was in the removals business and I knew that, like, I'm going home at the end of the season, and yes, I would say, well, actually, do I just pack my boxes now, get a good price for transporting all my belongings back to the UK? What would you say about that, Rob? Would you say that would be a good move to start planning it now to get a good rate?
That is a very interesting point, because that was my third sort of answer to this was, well, the 3 points are, does he have the injections and play to the end of the season? This is what St. George must be thinking. Do they let him have surgery, see how they go, and just bring him back fit for the playoffs? Or do St. George say, okay, we'll wash our hands of Widdop. He's yours from now on, Warrington. We'll give you the option. You can take his contract over from now. And would Warrington want to? Would Warrington want to continue to pay him whilst he sits in our treatment room for the next 3 or 4 months?
No, on a business sense, they wouldn't. Surely not.
Well, it solves the problem, doesn't it? It stops their dilemma of looking tarnished in putting a guy out on the field all year with injections and then turns up in British Super League not ready to play.
No, I think they'll play Duffy. They'll play Duffy. He played well last year. They'll go with him now, and Widdop will have surgery and fingers, toes, everything crossed that it works this time.
Okay. All right. One last point, what's happened this week. I mean, we're a bit early on in the round. We should really discuss, shouldn't we, the Brad Dwyer drop goal. Why weren't we using him at Warrington to take the drop goals?
The jammy buggers, Castleford, absolutely cocked that up in the last 30-second normal time.
And based on what we saw at Hull tonight, they've got jack shit chance of making the top five. So we're starting to see a few teams now that are not going to make the top five. I still think Wigan possibly will get there, although Huddersfield have seemed to have turned their form around and are going to chase them for that fifth spot, possibly.
I think it's just going to be a constant scramble at the moment. I don't think, like you say, I think it's just Saints and Warrington running away with it at the moment, aren't they?
At the moment. You can throw a blanket over everyone else, really, can't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to use the analogy of eggs, I mean, you've mentioned scrambled there. I'd say most of the league is scrambled egg, isn't it? It's breaking up. It's not quite sure where it's going. Castleford's a bit more of a poached egg. It's got substance, but you can still break it in half. But St Helens and Warrington, hard-boiled eggs for sure.
Yeah. Who's fried?
I know things don't happen in the early part of the season, really, but 2 weeks' time, we play St Helens. I'm really looking forward to that match. We'll find out what's what then.
Well, we should mention that this podcast is going to go out. Everyone's listening to this. It's Monday in the UK. We're going to actually delay the podcast the following week because we're going to have a bit of a preview for that Sintellings game. We're also going to have on the podcast rugby league journalist Gareth Walker is going to join us to review that game. And that podcast will be out on the Wednesday evening prior to the Sintellings game. Okay, we should move on to Madam Boyd, shouldn't we? Now, I may have only been the girl in the chip shop last week predicting that it was Wyatt's year, and Dennis took it with a pinch of salt because he didn't get any salt on his chips. This week, Dennis put in his weekly call to Madam Boyd. Will he get through? Or possibly, will he be put through to Richard, the chap dishing up the fish? He sounds familiar.
Miss you last week, yep. I spoke to the girl in a chippy instead.
Watch yourself, Dennis. She's a bit of a floozy. I suppose she gave you the old lard on her thighs line.
Yeah, actually, she was quite kind. She gave me some of her scratchings as well.
Yes, dear. You may be scratching for some weeks if you have dipped anything into her fryer.
Well, moving on. Do you have a prediction for this week, Madam Boyd?
Indeed, Dennis. Richard, please come and retrieve my balls. Ooh. Too rough, Richard. Too rough.
Oh, you got Richard helping you out there now?
Yes, dear. He clearly needs to understand that soft hands are the way forward.
Does Richard have any insight into rugby like Tony? Is he sort of it from the same thing?
Not now, Dennis. I'm moving into my transcendental consciousness. Yes, yes. Oh, the balls are firm this evening. A release is inevitable. Some kind of tower. The initial CNN. An eye for an eye. A wolf for a wolf. It seems that a player is moving over the gulf.
Right. Well, unpicking that sounds like a bit of a tall order. I'll have to hand that to the boys in WWBBS to sort out. Although Rob London can't handle tall orders. He's only 5'11". Anything else, Madam Boyd?
Afraid that's it, Dennis. Richard, please put my balls back in the service box, please.
Okay, same time next week then, Madam?
Yes, Dennis. Richard, delicately, my dear.
So, Dennis, what do you make of that?
Well, I think I was relying on you two, really, to pick the bones out of that.
I just couldn't pick the bones out of that at all. Sam, could you pick the bones out of that?
I don't like bones in my fish. That's why I stay away from it regularly.
Right, okay, so back to Rob then.
Well, I'd say that was real Ted Rogers dusty bin stuff. I mean, I can't make head nor tail of that. Could be coming from anywhere.
Maybe. Shall I help you out with that?
Well, what we should say is that this week there has been big news from Madam Boyd because it seems she has joined Twitter. She is predicting now on Twitter. If you want to go to her Twitter feed, it's at Boyd Madam, I think she's gone for. She's switched it round, which makes me think possibly she's a hermaphrodite.
Well, no, you know, you don't know how close you could be. I've had personal, obviously, conversations that haven't been recorded. And yeah, it's an interesting point. So, yes, the Madam Boyd bit there, something in relation to, with what she said, it's either Wakefield or Toronto, some kind of player exchange or something going on there.
In Chamonix. I mean, it could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, we'll see. Obviously, you two are flummoxed, aren't you? very flummoxed. You can't even... You're eating your words, I'd say, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say at this point.
The professional host of this show is eating his breakfast.
Yeah, he's really struggling there, aren't you? But seamlessly, he comes back onto mic just
I do. I'm back on. I'm back on. All right, okay. Podcast fan of the week. Right, well... Unless we received a call from Les Boyd this week, I'm pretty sure it's going to be quite hard to knock Carl Fitzpatrick off the POTW. Oh, excuse me, a little bit of toast there. Dennis, do you have any contenders?
I've got one this week because, as I say, most people are on tackle bags. Just like to say, not really a shout out, but to Rob Norman, who on Facebook, after seeing the artwork for the last show, said, getting a bit strange now. I've told him to keep with it. it's only going to get weirder from here. So,
okay. I'll read a few out. I know Sam's got one as well. I've had Steve Algie. Not so much podcast of the week, but we did mention last week Curry and the try that was not allowed for running through the line. He's written, this is in reference to the fact that St Helens scored a very similar try at Castleford and the try was given. He's written, the difference between the two was Saints' man was on, you can actually work this out, Sam, because I can't make head or tail of this. Said Saints' man was on the inside shoulder of defender. Curry was on the outside shoulder when coming through. And the line through were both tries. Oh, so both were tries. Bad read by Wakefield defender, but video referee rules with no common sense. So he's basically saying that Curry wasn't a try, but it kind of should have been given. Do you make any head and tail of that?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk in the last two or three years about whether if you're running at the defender, whether you are running on the inside shoulder, in other words, towards the post, and getting in his way, or whether you are going on the outside shoulder towards the touchline. And it was always, if you were on the outside shoulder, you were used to be given the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, the okey-cokey.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Overcomplicated.
Yeah. Can we apply it?
Didn't he also have a defender on the other side of him? So theoretically, that defender's on the left shoulder of him. He's running between a gap.
Yeah. We should have a common sense sort of like little button we press so it like goes round again on the wheel.
All right. Simon Bate, he writes, guys, keep the shows coming. They are great. We've heard from your hairdresser, Sam.
All right.
He says Sam will get his free haircut when he stops having wet dreams about Wigan.
Okay, I've stopped having him now. Thank you. Free haircut.
Should have just shaved all his hair off.
Yeah, we've had another one from Drew. Drew writes to say, Blake himself said a week or two ago on Sky Sports he wasn't happy with his running game. Well, he certainly put that right tonight. He also says he seems a much better signing than Tyrone Roberts. And then he sent through a picture of Mr. Tumble off CBeebies. I think that's very unfair on Mr. Tumble.
I don't know who Mr. Tumble is.
this came as a shock. I don't know what this says about this chap. We've heard from Darren Jones in Perth. He's written to say Mrs. Jones likes Ben Thaler.
Ooh, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
Fetish.
Yeah. Jeepers.
Sam, have you got any?
I just had one this week. Dr. Phil sent me through a photo of the Pacific Ocean and said he was listening to the pod on the while doing the journey of his hell of a commute to work.
What, was he on a? Is he in a boat in the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, but it looked like it. It looked like it. It certainly didn't look like my commute into Widnes today.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Sam, because that is a very good lead into my final podcast fan of the week. It's come from a chap called Liam Woolston Tone. Liam has written to say, when I was growing up, I lived in Widnes. There was a guy that went about riding on his pushback in the area of Hough Green, wearing a Vladivar Warrington top. It's not. he had a luminous ginger hair and always had a smile on his face. His name was Spunky. It's nice, isn't it?
He had a death wish.
Here it comes. He was famous for wanking dogs off.
Oh, no.
He would ride past and everyone would shout, "Hey, Spunky the dog wanker." Spunky just kept on smiling.
Did he invent dogging?
Liam writes, he says, I don't live there anymore, but my parents do. If I ever see him, I definitely shout, Spunky the dog wanker, at him. This week's podcast fan of the week goes to Spunky the Dog Wanker.
Very nice.
Oh, dear. Right, now, tackle bags. Did Dennis get lucky in tackle bags in episode 8?
Or I'm was still it just... reeling from that.
Was it just a case of Dennis pulling his old tactics he used to use in Legends Nightclub? Throw enough bullshit at it and something will stick. We'll see. Can Dennis go back to back with superb Dennis's tackle bags? It's over to Dennis.
Tackle bags. So this week, or last week, should I say, I won't mention Spunky. We discussed VAJ last week, or the video assisted judging, as we said, where the spectators' phones are used to assist the video evidence of video referees through an app. And yeah, very popular subject. I know Rob was very impressed with that. All downhill from here. Right, but, you know, had a couple of people write some emails. Pete from Padgate. He said, and you could put the face of the fan on the tri-wheel. That's a good idea, isn't it? So you know, if your video footage is used, you know, you could put his face up there. So he was part of the 58% who agreed with it. 40% disagreed. Somebody put, and their name was Sexit Brexit, quite topical. I wouldn't risk any of my footage in for the public domain. Yeah. Did you write that, Rob?
Yeah. No, nothing to do with me.
I wondered if it was from you. And then a 2% other top dogging wrote cock cam. Yeah. So anyway,
say that.
No. Well,
come on, move on. Move on to this week, Dennis.
This week. This week is called Warming Up the Mind. So I want to focus on something from a psychological aspect this week. Tools designed to warm up the mind. So, you know, the game is becoming more than just, you know, about physical.
Physicality.
Especially.
Physicality, Dennis.
Yeah, physicality. All right. Indigenous physicality. I can't say it now.
You've lost your heels again.
Yeah. All those words I can't say. Anyway, it's all about like the psychology of the game as well. And as we've seen this week, as it happens, you know, what we did against Wakefield last week in the second half, we capitulated. And then this week we put that right. So from a psychological aspect, something's going on. Anyway, there's a product out there. It's called the Halo, which focuses on the motor cortex of the brain, which controls coordination. So this fixes to a headband, sends pulses to activate neurons. It offers a warm-up of the mind by increasing the brain plasticity. So it's said to obviously stimulate those parts of the brain that add to the coordination of players and so on. So it's like training your muscles, but in the same way training your brain. So, you know, 20 minutes before the match, you could sort of put this on, and maybe we should sort of put it on certain players. So like ball players, for instance, that, you know, you want to be able to see plays and things like that. I was thinking, would this be something that Warrington Wolves should adopt as an additional technology for our players? Before you say it, yeah, obviously Depp Pattern would be maybe benefit from this.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
So
you've
anyway,
lost me. You've lost me. When did the question start?
Well, the question was,
I don't think
earlier.
He's done it yet, Sam.
That was the question.
Cracking would, on would about headbands or something.
Yeah, this headband that is supposedly stimulating, you know, our players for better coordination, warming the brain up as well as the body. So,
well, it's
think?
Safe to it's safe to say, Sam, that last week's Dennis's tackle bags was a fluke, and normal service has resumed.
If you'd like to write in, you can get us always on whatbevin@gmail.com or on Twitter, Facebook. You can paste your, well, don't no, don't paste any kind of pictures on Instagram. I don't want to see them. But yeah, get in touch and we'll see what that results next week and whether I contact Carl with that idea. Thank you.
Okay, right. Coming through loud and clear with a section soon to be renamed from Callum's Danger Man to Callum's Curse. Yes, he's the young Brummy lad with the deadly touch. If Callum mentions your name, rest assured, you'll have your leg in traction come Monday morning. Last week, Callum came up with two danger men, Joe Westerman and Jamie Shawl. The curse fell again, Sam. You've got some stats on Callum's curse.
Stats away. Well, the first week, let's be fair, he picked Don Manfredi and he could have played, but he had a bit of a head knock the week before.
So Callum got in his head.
But week two, before either of, when both of them were fully fit, he picked out Tom Johnson, but then decided he'd go for Bill Tupu, and both of them got hurt. And then last week, he picked out Joe, well, both of them were fit, he picked out Joe Westerman, who then got hurt and missed a London game. And, of course, Jamie Shawl, who, funny enough, was missing tonight.
Oh, God. He's got... So, basically... Madam Boyd's got competition.
What we need to do is get Callum to pick... We need Callum to pick Wormsley and Thompson just prior to the St Helens game, do we? Get rid of their front four forwards.
Wormsley, Thompson, Coote, Johnny Lomax, Theo Farge. That'll do. Just those five.
Well, I was thinking of the England squad. I mean, we get Cooper in that way as well, can't we?
All right, let's find out which London player needs to be shitting bricks this week.
Hi, it's me again, Callum, back for another Danger Man instalment. Now, this week, Warrington face a resilient London Broncos team, a team you'd have expected to be sitting down the bottom end of the table all year, but they've come up trumps so far, sitting around ninth. And I think they could cause Warrington some problems with it being a little bit of a banana skin game. A few players I'm going to look at: Eddie Batty, the prop, Jordan Abdul, the number six, and the number two winger, Reece Williams. Batty, brilliant runs, straight down the middle, scored a few tries already. Williams, a great winger, has served the Broncos well, but the main man I'm going to look at as my danger man is the number six, Jordan Abdul. We saw it for Hull FC when he was one of the fringe players last year. I think his play is fantastic. His kicking game is the best attribute he has, in my opinion. And we're probably going to see that at the HJ next week when he comes up against Warrington. Jay Pitts' try against Leeds Rhinos the other week was off an Abdul kick, and that was so instinctive, and that was one of the tries that helped London win that 18-16 game. But yeah, my danger man for this week, the London Broncos number six, Jordan Abdul. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next week.
Okay, well, let's move on to the London game. London has quite a history in rugby league, dating back many years. But to find out a little bit more, it's over to Sam.
Okay, so after two away games, Wyatt are back at the HJ this Friday and London Broncos come to town. London are a team that split opinion amongst RL fans. A new expansion team that gets special treatment seems to be the thought. But are they really still new? Time for a brief history lesson. The club that we would now recognise as the Broncos was set up by Ernie Clay, the chairman of Fulham Football Club, in 1981. Playing at Craven Cottage, Fulham RL enjoyed a brief spell in the limelight, twice winning promotion to the Championship. However, financial pressures took a toll and the club started its nomadic life, moving around grounds such as Crystal Palace, Chiswick Polytechnic and Stamford Bridge. In 1991, they changed the name to London Crusaders before the big change came in 1994 when the club were taken over by Brisbane Broncos. In turn, this led to the London team taking its place in the inaugural Super League in 1996 and then followed their most successful period. In 97, they came second in Super League and during that year defeated Canberra Raiders in the short-lived expanded World Club Challenge. Then, in 99, with Richard Branson now as the figurehead and majority shareholder, the club reached the Challenge Cup final, only to be thrashed by Leeds. Things could have looked up, but the new millennium brought a gradual decline in results. as the team languished in the lower positions of the league for most of that decade. Another change of name, briefly, to Harlequins, before reverting back to the Broncos, and then, in July 14, London were relegated from Super League after a huge 72-12 loss to Warrington. This ended their 19-year stay in the top flight. Many would have thought this would be the end for the Broncos, but with the continued backing of David Hughes, Andrew Henderson started to put a team together that would compete well in the Championship. When Henderson left to join the Wolves, the good work was continued by Danny Ward, and the comeback complete when last autumn, as big underdogs, they went to Toronto and beat the Wolfpack in the £1 million game to regain Super League status. This year, they've already beaten Wigan, Wakefield and Leeds, and home form at Trailfinders on the artificial pitch will surely be key to their success. I can't see anything other than a big Warrington win this week, but whether you agree with the London project or not, this year they have earned their place in Super League by right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, you're absolutely bang on the money there. And it seems this year that London's going to be no walkover. You mentioned their run of results through the season. If we don't turn up on the weekend, if we put our heads in forward towards the St Helens game, we may struggle a little bit. Does anyone see this as a problem next weekend?
Yeah, it is one of them banana skins, but I'd be worried. I would be concerned if we were going down there to play, but not as a home game. As a home game, I think we'll be well switched on.
Are they allowed to play the lad that we've loaned them back?
I don't know, but it would not be usual. Usually, if you're playing your home club, unless you're on a full season loan, if you're on one of these month-to-month ones, usually you don't play your home team.
Okay, all right.
Has he been playing any good for him, by the way? Has he been playing?
I don't know. I must hold my hands up. I've not really looked. That's a bit rubbish off me. I'm sorry.
I mean, I presume he's been playing. He was their best player last year, wasn't he? He was their player's player. So you'd think they got him back to play him. I can't believe he's been sitting on the bench down there as well. All right, well, let's come on to predictions then. I keep going first. I think I'll go last this week. Sam, over to you.
I think we will rest a couple of players, or at least give Clark will have fewer minutes. Tarzi might play more minutes. So I'm going to say 30 points to 10, Warrington win.
Okay. I'm going to ask Rob what he thinks now.
And he's I'm guessing have to mull 18 this over. Might play a part.
No, he's got about 18 more chews.
It's like a game of chess, isn't it? Right, I think, see, Sam's done what I was going to do, because I also think we'll rest players, so it won't be as much of a mauling as you think. I'll go a little bit closer, actually. I think it might get a little bit sweaty palms. I'll go Warrington 26, London 18.
I think I'd just like to sort of, let's just have a bit of reflection on this podcast here. You've been very upbeat, you two, tonight, and you've been on a high, and, you know, everything's positive. Yeah. So when we're halfway through the season, we've had a little bit of a dip. Just remember this joyful feeling that you've had now. Yeah. Okay. Just not. Anyway, I think we'll win 40 points to 16. Doddle.
Boom. Boom. Big score. Okay. Well, we're nearly done. We did run a poll on Twitter tonight. It's received so far 67 votes. The question was marquee money well spent. There was three options. You could go with yes, I'll decide after the grand final, or was he on the field? 4% went for was he on the field. 10% went for decide after the grand final. But with a staggering 86%, it was a firm yes. Blake Austin is well worth the money. The shot clock's down and we've run out of time. We'll be back with a double digit number next week. Yes, we've reached episode 10 and they said it wouldn't last. Boom. and with the podcast, as I mentioned before, leading into the St Helens show, we'll be focusing the event. So expect the download episode 10 to come out on April the 3rd, Wednesday afternoon, around about 4 p.m. Email to the usual address, whatbevan@gmail.com, or direct message on Twitter to @whatbevan. We'd be interested to hear how you think the Saints game will go. Also look out for the feed. Yes, Madam Boyd has joined the world of Twitter. She can be reached at Boyd Madam. So from myself, a very sprightly and virile Rob London, it's a huge goodbye. From a bicycle clipped and lubricated yet flaccid Dennis, it's a...
It's seeing you.
And finally, a frail statsman with a rusty old abacus that hasn't shot out a calculation past the end of his pencil case since the last match at Wilderspool. It's an all the best from Sam.
Ta-ra.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
What's that?
You're going to have your piss now, Dennis.